You were here about 3 years ago, and things were wonderful.
We didn't appreciate it, did we?
No, everybody was happy and excited, and then September 2 years ago happened. And tell us, first of all, you're going to do a luncheon today. It starts at 11:30 at Pebble Creek. It's called Does Growth Pay Its Way? Tell me what you're going to cover today.
We're going to cover and look at age-old questions, questions of how many jobs does a house create when a house is being built? The answer is about 2.5. How many, including ripple phase jobs, and how many jobs does a house maintain once the house is built and people live in the house and want burgers flipped and legal bills paid and banks and burgers and tattoos and Botox shots? And we're going to look at all those numbers, and then we're going to ask, how quickly can it pay off the bills you got to build to build roads and sewers and police stations and fire stations? And the answer is 2 years. Right. Housing pays away in 2 years. I actually did a hypothetical and said, what if new house prices drop by 25%? So if they fall from about 260 to about 195,
okay.
Houses pay for their way in 6 years. So this notion of we have to raise impact fees and stick it to builders and developers and hurt our home building industry so that it covers itself is just not true. Politicians may want to hurt the home building industry, but it's not because it's not paying its way. It's because they want money.
Okay, Elliot works for the home builders, so you understand, National Home Builders Association. Tell us a little kind of a microscopic picture that you see of the Brazos Valley and how that might be different from maybe Texas and certainly the national patterns.
All right. You're really well off here. I mean, you don't realize it, but yeah. you're listening audience. You guys are all living the dream. You don't feel it, I know, but it's true. If you look at the states, Texas is far and away the healthiest big state there is. I mean, compared to California, this is like shooting fish in a barrel. It's not fair. But New York, not really well. Pennsylvania, not really well. Illinois, quite badly off. Florida, quite badly off. So you look at these 5 or 10 large states, Ohio, you're clearly the best of the bunch. The other healthy states in the country go from Texas straight north through North Dakota. I mean, Those are the 6 or 7 healthiest states, the whole middle of the country, and the health of the economy will go from there radiating out both east and west. Now, within Texas, there are better places and there are worse places. And clearly a place like College Station Bryan is among the healthiest because you've got fabulous employment centers here. You've got the university, which is I drove by yesterday. It's building buildings and growing and doing nifty stuff. So you've got money from that. Oil revenues are good here. Agriculture is pretty healthy nationally. So energy's good. Ag is good. Education is good. So while you may not be seeing tremendous housing starts compared to a couple years ago, and you're down, certainly, prices haven't declined much here. Levels of foreclosure are relatively low compared to other parts of Texas and certainly compared to the average in the U.S. So count your blessings and be appreciative. And remember that, you know, things go both ways. Back in 86, 85, things weren't so great here by comparison.
Sure. Elliot Eisenberg joining us. He's an economist, a senior analyst at National Association of Home Builders. Okay, so Texas, but why up the middle of the country? What are the reasons that cause it to be just as a group better?
Partly it's because those states didn't experience the huge price run-up. They're by and large more business friendly, less regulations. So that if they want to build homes in Fargo, North Dakota, they can do it. You want to build homes in Topeka, Kansas, you can generally do it. Oklahoma, San Antonio, and so on. Generally, this is how it goes. So you've got that going. Secondly, you've got agriculture, which has been relatively stable and good. It's been excellent to good the last couple of years. North Dakota and Texas have energy, a lot of energy in North Dakota. So these are all states that seem to have a couple cylinders all working for them. By contrast, the coastal cities like Seattle and L.A. on one hand and Washington, D.C., not so much, they're Atlanta more and Florida more, had their big price run-ups, and now they've had big price collapses, which has really destroyed a large part of the economy in those cities.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about a couple of news things. National Realtors Association says that existing homes took a 10% jump last month.
They did.
Your thoughts on that? Why that happened, and what is that going to mean?
There are a couple things. One, it's not a leading indicator. It's either a coincident or lagging indicator. So it says things got better. There are a couple things going on. One is FHA tightened up the rules on qualifying for mortgages, so that pushed a couple folks to run in before the edge, and this data covers some of that. And there's also that the home buyer tax credit expired in April. They had to close by end of September to get it.
Okay.
So these numbers are being juiced slightly.
Yeah,
by
those
that.
Were inflated from.
But I think this is more data saying, hey, you know, while we may not be making a great recovery, we're certainly not getting any worse, and we're at worst bumping along the bottom.
Right. Now, the whole foreclosure problem, BOA, that we saw was that a couple of weeks ago. How is that going to impact the idea of people being able to buy and sell homes?
Gosh, it's hard to know exactly. You can be of a couple different minds on that. On one hand, you can say banks are now going to be much more careful. They'll be more likely to take a short sale. They'll be more enthusiastic on that front. On the other hand, you can say the banks will just hold back and do nothing at all. They'll be paralyzed. Buyers will wait. Buyers will be nervous. They'll be fearful prices will come down. So you can sort of rationalize almost anything you want, which is what economists tend to do with two hands anyways.
Can always find
so
something.
So I wish I really knew. But I think the bigger problem is everyone's now – it's a new layer of complexity. Banks are uncertain how it will affect their balance sheets. Buyers are uncertain. It just adds an extra layer of uncertainty. Clearly not something you want in a time like this.
Certainly. Wall Street Journal yesterday said that they're looking at eliminating or reducing that sacrosanct thing that we all have as home buyers and home builders, that you can write off that interest on your mortgage payment. What do you think? Are they just kind of sending a trial balloon up, first of all? And then secondly, how would that impact folks?
Let's certainly hope the trial balloon, it's shot down soon.
Yeah.
I think the issue here, remember, when you buy a house, you're buying two things. You're buying physical shelter and you're buying tax shelter. The interest that you pay is tax deductible. So because you know you're going to save that tax money up front, so you say your mortgage every year, total interest $10,000 and you're in the 25% bracket, you get $2,500 in back from Uncle Sam. That means you can afford to spend more for the house because you have this extra $2,500. If this mortgage interest deduction goes away, you'll pay more in taxes. You'll pay less in house. Your income will not have changed. House prices will have to fall. And house prices will fall based on the marginal tax brackets of the people buying the homes.
Okay.
So all house prices are going to start falling at the lower end, maybe 15, 20%. At the upper end, maybe 30 or 40%. But they're all going to fall. So if you were thinking of buying a house, you'd say, I think I'll wait. Because in a year, once this deduction goes away, house prices will fall. And if you just bought a house, you said, oh, congratulations, my house price has collapsed by 10 or 20%. Aren't I happy?
Yeah.
And we'll create this price decline all over the country, even in places like here, for example, in College Station Bryan, where you didn't have price declines. Now we'll have price declines.
And we're not used to that world. We don't want that world.
So I don't think anyone wants to add an extra layer of uncertainty
with
only downward potential. This is not like maybe it'll be good, maybe it'll be bad, like the mortgage problem. You can think of it both ways. This is unambiguously very bad.
Yeah. When did you first hear about this, that they might float
this
it?
This talk has been going on for – it's been going on for a couple of years. But I think they had a tax commission a couple of years ago. Bush had one, and they proposed this idea, but it didn't go anywhere. This one's – it comes up, and I think it comes up now because they need a lot of money. So they're looking at defense, they're looking at a whole bunch of things.
Yeah.
But this one would, they're all, a lot of them are bad, but this one would be, especially given the timing of it. It's, add more downward pressure on house prices, convince buyers to stay away, prospective buyers to stay away, and encourage people to actually start walk away from their mortgage, encourage more defaults and foreclosures.
Yet one more thing. He's like a rock star economist. Well, you got to be someplace else probably this week, don't you?
Yeah, I'm going to be in Boston.
All right, you see. So, I mean, he's here today, and they got some tickets left, and it's at Pebble Creek today. It's the Bryan College Station Home Builders Association. Starts at 11:30. You can call the folks at the chamber if you want tickets. It's Elliot Eisenberg. Thanks for being with us this morning.
My gosh, it's always a pleasure.
All right, see you later.
Call me.